This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome on into the season finale, folks. Saints taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Week 18 action will start with a high noon kickoff in Tampa Bay as the Saints look to play the role of spoiler against the Buccaneers. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele bringing you till 10 a.m. That's when the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff takes over with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And as I mentioned, a noon kickoff in Raymond James Stadium. Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak on the sideline will be joining us after the first break. Give us a little preview of what things are like in Tampa Bay currently. But Charlie, I mean, here we are, the final game of the year, not exactly where any of us, I think, expected this black and gold bunch to be going into the finale.
Yeah, and you're playing a really good Bucs team, a Bucs team that's gotten hot over the last month and a half at this point, Steve. They won 5 of their last 6 to kind of snatch control away from the Falcons in the NFC South. Yeah, no, I know, exactly. So Atlanta, to sneak in, they would need the Saints to beat the Buccaneers, which is really funny that Falcons fans have to root for the Saints today.
They need us.
They need us. and that, you know, they would also have to beat the Panthers as well. But the Panthers, you know, they've got their eyes turned to the draft. They've kind of moved on at this point in the season. So Saints 5-11, Buccaneers 9-7. Tampa's looking for their fourth straight NFC South title. Saints fans know how that feels. Granted, the Saints did it a little bit more impressive fashion than the Buccaneers did, winning double-digit games basically every single time they won the NFC South in that four-year run a couple years back. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay is kind of taking advantage of a weak division. I don't know if I would call it the weakest in football, though, Steve. The AFC South is really bad. But, man, the South divisions, they kind of stink, don't they?
Yeah, something about the South, like you said, in both the AFC and NFC,
no bueno.
Have not been living up to par. Woke up to news this morning, Charlie, that the Saints have supposedly a favorite for their head coaching role in Aaron Glenn. Tony Polian,
yes,
of Sportsopedia reporting that the Saints are targeted Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, as the favorite to take over as the next head coach.
I'll defer to Bobby on this one because he basically kind of said how I feel as well. Like, Aaron Glenn kind of runs the same defense that Dennis Allen does. Now, we don't know how good of a head coach he'll be. He's done a great job in Detroit with a very limited roster at this point, based off of all the injuries that they've had defensively. I think they basically have a full starting 11 on IR,
right,
on defense. It's unreal how many injuries they've suffered on the defensive side of the ball. They're still winning games, but it's because they're winning games with offense. I mean, we saw what happened on the primetime game Monday Night Football this past week, Steve, when they played the 49ers. That's kind of how the Lions have to win at this point. They need to outscore teams. Like, yes, they may give up 28, 30 points, 31 points.
But they're scoring 35, but they're, right.
Exactly. They're scoring 35 to 40, and that's kind of their formula for victory. So, you know, yes, he's done a good job with the limited resources that he's had this year, and Detroit's having a historic season, which means that likely both of those guys will get poached as far as OC Ben Johnson and DC Aaron Glenn. And obviously the ties to the organization and everything like that makes sense. So that's probably the early favorite as far as names go, but we'll see how it goes as the process, you know, kind of continues.
Yeah, one of the ones I was surprised to see too, I think Diana Russini put out from The Athletic that Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy is also being eyed by the Saints as their next head coach.
Okay. You know, Aaron Glenn, I'd be willing to give a shot. Matt Nagy was run out of Chicago. He was not good. Like, I don't want to. Yes, I'll pile on. He was bad. So, and it's not even like the Chiefs' offense has been that good this year. Like, they're one of those.
Right, they've been dinged up, obviously.
They're
too.
Winning because of their defense. Like, Spags' defense has been awesome at points this year. And they're 15-1, but people are still down on the Chiefs because they've escaped a lot of games this past year.
Sure.
And it doesn't feel like a very confident 15-1, as weird as that is to say, right? But anyways, yeah, Matt Nagy, the early reaction I saw to it, it's how I feel as well. So, man.
Yeah, not the name I think a lot of folks wanted to hear as a lead candidate for the Saints.
Yeah, for reference, everyone, he's the OC for the Chiefs. That's why I was kind of dogging on the Chiefs offense, because it hasn't really been that impressive, especially when you have Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, two future Hall of Famers. Anyways, Matt Nagy, no. I mean,
the verdict is in from Charlie. No.
I mean, that's just how I feel. And now, Aaron Glenn, once again, I would be willing to potentially give a shot. We'll see what happens with the offseason process. Deuce and Haas were talking about this on Friday, and Deuce said that he expects a head coach to be hired for the Saints by the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, early February. It's going to be pretty quick, in all honesty.
Yeah, my wife was aggravated seeing that the New York Jets are interviewing coaches, GMs, and I'm like, be patient, the Saints will get to it.
Well, yeah, they also need to find a GM because they moved on from Joe Douglas.
Right.
So it's kind of a two-pronged thing that they have to figure out here. Now, the Jets, I think, have interviewed Vrabel for, like, they've also interviewed, I think, Louis Riddick for the GM role.
So, Ron Rivera.
Right, right. They're getting some names in the hat early on. But, man, as soon as I saw Matt Nagy, I sent it to my buddies. I'm like, is this real? Like, oh boy.
Someone's trolling us here.
Yeah, no. Once again, would not be a fan.
Looking at our LCMC health update as we get ready for this game. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. The injury report coming out this week for the Black and Gold, we will not see Derek Carr in action. The quarterback still dealing with issues with that non-throwing hand. It's just not allowing him to grip the ball and function as a quarterback. I really didn't expect this to be likely of him being able to play in any of these past 2 games. And I think the Saints need to get that better look of Spencer Rattler anyway. So I'm more excited for Rattler, even though things haven't been the greatest for him. I want to see him hopefully continuing to develop. Derek Carr, just, you know, rest up, get ready for next year. I don't think the Saints will be parting ways with him unless this head coach coming in decides, I don't want Derek Carr as my quarterback, and then that's going to raise a whole other issues with cap casualties.
Yeah, correct. So, real quick, when Derek Carr suffered the injury against the Giants, I think, like, maybe the Monday after, the national reporters were saying that it could be season-ending. And Rizzi had come out and specifically
vehemently. It is not over.
He was strong against that. He was just like, that's really aggressive. We think he'll return at some point. We're not placing him on the season-ending IR. And then just week by week, I guess he didn't progress enough. And so, you know, the buzz early on was right. The 2 fractures that he suffered in his left hand would not allow him to play. And so the simulated games that he went through throughout the week obviously wasn't good enough. So his season's over. And Spencer Rattler, yes, you get, you know, another look at him. At the same time, you know, with Derek Carr this year, you're 5-5. Without him, you're 0-6. And so that's why heading into this game, you see basically the exact same point spread that you saw for that Monday night game against the Packers, where the Saints are 2 touchdown underdogs against the Buccaneers. Now, once again, the Buccaneers are hot entering this game. They've beaten up on some poor teams, but the Saints are a world beater. They're about 2 touchdown favorites in this matchup. And, you know, I think you can understand why. Their offense is humming, Steve. I want to take you back to a couple weeks ago. We picked the Bucs-Chargers game, and all of us picked the Chargers.
Right.
The Chargers were playing well at that point. They still are playing well. They're a playoff team.
Figured no way this Bucs offense can get past that D.
The Bucs put up 40 points.
Embarrassed them, right?
On one of the best defenses in football in the Chargers. Whoa. That was a wake-up call. Because, yes, they've beaten some bad teams in this run, like, you know, the Panthers and all that stuff, who they smoked by, like, 30 points last week. But putting up 40 against the Chargers defense, that was the eye-opening moment. Like, okay, Baker Mayfield, this rushing attack, they're legit. And so Liam Cohen is one of those names that's going to be circulating for head coaching jobs, just like Dave Canales last year.
Right.
Dave Canales was the OC of the Buccaneers. He gets hired on as head coach of the Panthers. And he's done an awesome job in his first year. Look past the record for that situation specifically. The Panthers have a lot of work to do on roster building. But Bryce Young looks competent. And Bryce Young looked nowhere near competent his rookie year or the start of this year. He looked like a complete bust. But Canales was viewed as the quarterback whisperer. He had fixed Geno Smith. He had, quote-unquote, fixed Baker Mayfield. And now he's fixed Bryce Young. It's a weird thing, his reclamation project, so to speak. Anyways, so he moves on from Tampa last year, goes to the Carolina Panthers, and it's been a solid first year despite their record. You know, they got what they wanted out of this year. No one in the Panthers, you know, fan base, front office, anything like that, was expecting them to be a playoff team, a team with a winning record, anything like that, just because the roster wasn't good enough. They just wanted to see development from the guy that they traded a boatload to get in the first overall pick of 2023.
Right, so they have some hope.
Exactly. But you saw that development this year from Bryce. Now, because Canales moved on last year, they got their OC, Liam Cohen, and Cohen's been great. I mean, he has been outstanding this year for the Buccaneers. Let me give you some numbers here, Steve. Scoring offense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 29.7 points per game, fourth in the NFL. Pretty good. Total offense, 399.9 yards per game, third in the NFL. Rushing offense, 147.3 yards per game, fourth. Passing offense, 252.6 yards per game, third. They're top four in scoring offense, total offense, rushing offense, and passing offense.
Yeah, that's going to get a lot of heads turning, especially in today's modern-day era
absolutely.
Of football.
So, you know, those teams that are looking for the offensive hotshot coordinator.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson's obviously the first off the list because of what he's done in Detroit and consistently just been awesome. But Liam Cohen's going to get a shot, I think, this offseason coaching cycle. And I want to say it was James Sharko, the host of the Locked On Bucks podcast, when we had him. It was like, hey, maybe you guys should get a good look at this guy for your head coach, your next head coaching hire. So, I mean, they'll get a look at him. Liam Cohen, the OC of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I can't say enough good things about what he's done this year. He's been awesome. I mean, the Buccaneers offense, once again, ranks top four in all of those categories. They've been outstanding, and a lot of it is because of that play caller.
Mentioned that Derek Carr is out for this game. Running back Alvin Kamara was hoping to play. He is doubtful, still dealing with that groin issue. We'll find out a little bit more this morning from the Saints when they go through their walkthroughs on if AK is able to go up. But I'm like his status says, I highly doubt we see Kamara in the finale.
And Kendra Miller's out.
Right, he's dealing with concussion. Also out, they downgraded Pete Werner won't play, and also Chris Olave won't be making an appearance in the finale either as he's coming back from that concussion.
We could have probably spent a little bit more time on this, but I'll be pretty brief with it. Mike and I talk about this all the time, especially, you know, in the coming months, come draft time, where we're talking about, you know, the best positions, the position rankings that Mike has, his overall big board, all that good stuff. Draft through the strengths of a draft, right? Like 2 years ago, they didn't do that because they didn't take the tight end. Tight end class was awesome.
No, you're not bitter about that
still
or anything.
Bitter about it. Last year, they did do it. The strength was tackles,
right.
And they got Taliese Fuaga, who's had a very strong rookie year. This year, you know, you can maybe debate like pass rushers are really, really good in this class, but the running back class is awesome. Like, yes, everyone will talk the quarterback class is down. The wide receiver class isn't as good as it was last year. Last year's wide receiver class was great, too. But the running back class is really, really good. So, and I'm not advocating to take a running back with the first round pick that you got, which is going to end up in the top 10 in all likelihood. But you probably need to use a premium pick on a running back. Kendra Miller has not really worked out. And
Stay on the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I'll read the stats because Nowak put it out just a little bit ago about his first 2 years in New Orleans. And it's just not gaudy. Like, he shows flashes at times when he's on the field, but he can't stay on the field.
Not enough flashes.
He's played in 14 games in his first 2 years, and he's out for this game as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you need to draft a running back, Steve.
You mentioned Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking to him. He is in Tampa Bay. Set the scene a little for us to find out what the weather's like over there. We're here on First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. This is it, folks. Season finale for the Saints. And then, wah, wah, the black and gold football season is over. We're going to take a break and be back with more, so stay tuned on First Take right after this on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, and now welcoming in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who is in Tampa Bay. How you doing this morning, Jeff? How things over there?
I'm doing good. I'm not at the stadium yet, about to head over there, but the weather is not going to be a problem for the Saints. It's going to be a little different than their last road game outside. It's going to be a beautiful, I don't even know what the temperature is, but it's not going to be cold. It might be hot more than anything else, so I can't complain about this.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the projections right now for kickoff. It's going to be around 65, 70 degrees and no chance of rain, which is always nice, too. So you don't have to deal with dealing any slop over there, although Raymond James Stadium ends up draining nicely. They got a good setup there. But thankfully, you won't be standing out in any rain for this matchup.
No, and you know, Raymond James Stadium has kind of been a very friendly, confines for the Saints team over the last several years. If you kind of look at this series in particular, the road team seems to always win. But, you know, going back to 2019, the Saints are actually 5-1 in Raymond James Stadium, and they've outscored the Bucs by about, you know, I'm going to say it's like 149-63 in those six games. And, you know, I was looking this up yesterday. It's actually been the entire state of Florida that's been very kind to the Saints, because if you go back and you look at, okay, 2021, they played the Packers in Jacksonville. That was a Packers team that went to the NFC Championship. It was after the Saints got displaced due to Ida. So, you know, that game was 38-3. Go back to 2019, they beat the Jaguars 13-6. And the amazing thing is, so that's 7-1, and it doesn't seem to matter who starts games at quarterback, right? The only loss was Andy Dalton, and that was a game you led 16-3. In the fourth quarter, about 4 minutes to go. So even the game you lost of those eight games, you kind of dominated it. You've had games started by Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, obviously Drew Brees three times, and Derek Carr last year. And there will be another quarterback on that list. So if you can continue that run with Spencer Rattler, I'm going to start to think it's about more than just a coincidence that the Saints should try to play more games in the state of Florida. But we'll have to wait and see.
Spencer Rattler getting the start today. We know Derek Carr won't be suiting up, still dealing with that injured non-throwing hand. What are you hoping to see from Spencer in this finale? I know it's been a little bit of up and down for him, a lot of down, unfortunately, for the rookie. But what can you expect from a fifth-round pick that's just, you know, getting acclimated to life in the NFL? But what are some of the things that you feel like Spencer needs to do a better job of going into this finale here?
Yeah, it's an interesting bookend because, you know, this is the same Bucs team that he made his NFL debut against way back in week six. And that game seemed to be going really well at halftime. The Saints were ahead 27-24. They scored 27 points in the second quarter. At halftime, they were ahead by three. And then they got outscored 27-0 the rest of the game. Spencer threw a bad interception on a drive where they could have maybe taken control. You know, and you kind of started to see some of the rookie warts developing in that game and the next two. You know, but, you know, when I look back at the game last week against the Raiders, the scoreline says 25-10. The second half, you got shut out. It wasn't pretty. But I did think I saw Spencer take some clear steps forward in terms of, hey, I need a rookie quarterback to come out playing well. I need a young quarterback to start games well, not just come out in relief and look good. And I thought he did that. That first half was probably his best half of the season. He was decisive. He made plays with his legs when he needed to. He got the ball where it needed to go. He was 11-13 in the first half, and the two incompletions were a drop and a throwaway. So, you know, you just need to, and Spencer talked about that this week, you have to put a complete game together. You can't just have quarters here, halves here. You need a full performance start to finish. And that's not just on Spencer. I think when you look back at that second half, you had a ton of penalties. You know, both interceptions he threw came immediately, like the play after a big gain that got wiped out away by a penalty. And that's going to be anytime you look at a rookie quarterback and, you know, you see a guy making plays and then they get turned away and you're like, okay, do it again. That's a tough scenario. And I don't think he handles it well. So I don't know. You just kind of want to see him continue to take steps forward. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I don't want the Saints to win today because then it would help the Falcons get into the playoffs. I disagree with that. I think, you know, when you're talking about a young quarterback who hasn't won a game yet, and you're kind of trying to feel out what he has, winning a game to close out the season, to go into the offseason with confidence, I think that's more valuable than anything. And ending this season with some positivity would be nice. And also, you know, the Bucs are something of a rival, too. I think embarrassing them in front of their home fans and keeping them out of the playoffs when they had everything in front of them, I think there's some value in that, too. I'd rather be the team that does it than the team that kind of just, like, all right, do what you got to do, you know, so. Either way, I think you're going to see a better performance out of Spencer today in terms of if you look back at that week six game versus now. I think he has taken some clear steps forward. He's more confident getting in and out of the huddle. He talked about that this week a little bit, just kind of looking people in the eye and being a rookie, but also being that leader. It's not an easy transition to make. when, you know, you're coming into the NFL. But I do think you're going to see a better performance out of him today. I just don't know if it's going to be enough.
No Derek Carr today, Jeff. Also no Kendra Miller. And you posted this on your X or Twitter or whatever. Kendra Miller's first two seasons, 14 games played, 80 carries, 304 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, two touchdowns, 15 catches, 150 yards, 20 games missed with two IR trips. And then you also split it up as well. The knee injuries cost him two games, ankle sprain, seven games, hamstring, six games, another hamstring, four games, and the concussion now, well, it's going to be two games after today. So, Kendra Miller, you know, Mike and I, as I mentioned with Steve in the first segment here, we always talk about building through the strength of a draft. And, you know, they did that last year by getting Taliese Fuaga. It was a great offensive tackle draft. They went and got themselves one. This upcoming draft is really running back heavy. Now, I'm not advocating to take a running back with your top 10 pick that you'll probably end up with, but at the same time, I think running back entering the offseason is going to be a need.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy you're going to rely on next year is Alvin Kamara. And he's, you know, they did re-sign him, they extended him, so you are committed to him beyond this year, but you still have to plan for after Alvin, however long his career does go. He's still playing at a high enough level that I'm not necessarily concerned about the immediate future, but again, you're talking about a 30-year-old running back. What's behind him? And I'd love to be able to say Kendra Miller has shown something that I can go into this offseason feeling like, that's my guy. He just simply has it. And it's not about ability. It's about staying on the field. And I, you know, it's tough because you don't want to get on a guy for getting a concussion. He has no control over that. I'm sure if you left it up to him, he would have gone back in the game. The NFL doesn't allow you to do that. So it's tough because it's not, you know, when you get annoyed with a player, when a coach is getting annoyed with a player, it's going to be because, hey, you got hurt and we didn't feel like you were necessarily doing the work. You weren't prepared or whatever. That's not the case here. This is just bad luck. But you put it on top of that list of all the injuries and all the games missed. You're 14 games played, 20 games missed. You know, that's just not a pretty picture. And, you know, it's hard to see that changing. Or at least you can't bet on it changing. So, yeah, I mean, you're going into this offseason and you're going to have serious questions. I would imagine Kendra is at training camp next year. I don't think they're just going to outright cut him. I don't see how that would benefit you.
No, there's no reason to. You know, but like, to your
point, I mean, a third-round pick,
right,
competing for a roster spot is probably what you're going to see. Yeah. And that's why if you have Clyde out there today and Clyde looks good and Clyde looks like a guy that you want to bring back, I think that's a guy that you seriously consider in that spot too. He's 25 years old. You know, he has a lot left to give at the NFL level, and I'm sure he's, you know, motivated to make things work here in his home state. So, now Kendra, it's frustrating. And, you know, he's still got a lot of his career left. He could still turn things around. But definitely, you know, the season ends today, and it's a massive disappointment to not see more out of him.
You know, talking about with Kendra Miller, doesn't look like we're going to see Alvin Kamara in the finale either as he deals with that groin issue. So, could it be a heavy dose of good old Clyde Edwards-Helaire just showing up a couple week ago for this black and gold bunch, getting most of the carries here today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did not rule Alvin Kamara out yesterday. I haven't seen any updates on him to change that. So as of right now, he could still play. You know, when he was ruled as doubtful going into the weekend, Darren Rizzi said they were going to put him through some game-like work, game-like situations to see how well he could function, whether he could get out there. And if that didn't go well to the point that they weren't going to play him, they would have ruled him out yesterday. So I would imagine he ends up being a game time decision and we'll find out more. I'd still be surprised if he plays, you know, but he has been working to get back. He wants to play. So we'll have to see either way. Now, I mean, I don't think you're going to overload him even if he's out there. So you're going to have to get some good reps from somebody. And, you know, with all due respect to Jamal Williams, I'm actually a lot more interested to see what Clyde has in this format, in this setting, in a game that does not impact the playoff race, at least for you. And he's a guy that I go into the offseason saying, hey, I've seen a lot out of Jamal. I don't necessarily need to feature him. I'd like to feature Clyde. And the question is, how much does he understand the offense, the protections, the checks? Both Clint Kubiak and Darren Rizzi kind of applauded the professionalism and how quickly he has picked up some of that stuff. There's no way he's fully in the playbook. There's no way he understands it necessarily back to front with this little time on task. But I do think that his workload this week is going to be a little bit more expansive than last week. Last week, you kind of saw him in on kind of a set menu, like a small package of plays. that he, you know, his assignment was simple. He could just execute that and go on. I think this week you're probably going to open that up a little bit. My question is going to be, okay, third down work, 2-minute drill, stuff that you kind of have to just go. Mistakes in those situations can be very costly. And I would be a little surprised if he's ready for those situations yet. So if Alvin doesn't get out there, I think that's probably where you'd see Jamal and maybe Clyde would be on the early down work. But again, you know, there's not a lot that you're going to take out of this game for this season. I think a lot of it is evaluations for next season. And again, if you can go into the offseason and say, hey, maybe Clyde is a name in this room, is a factor, a 25-year-old running back who is first-round pick potential. We've all seen how talented he is. You know, I don't see why you wouldn't really kick the tires hard on that one.
So let's talk about the Bucs real quick, Jeff. I mean, they had a weird stretch. It's been a tale of two seasons in a sense with them, which is kind of funny because it mirrors the tale of two halves from the first time these two teams played. They had that 4-game losing skid where they lose to the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs in overtime, and then the 49ers. And things are starting to crumble a little bit, but their schedule lightened up and they really took, I mean, the most advantage of it that you can possibly take, really, in all honesty. They've won 5 of their last 6. They took down the Giants, the Panthers twice. They also beat the Raiders, but this is the one game that really stood out to me, and it's why I think that the Buccaneers fans have some hope entering the postseason if they're to win this game and wrap up the NFC South title for the fourth time. They put up 40 on the Chargers. The Chargers have one of the best defenses in the NFL. We know that. We saw them firsthand when, you know, they took down the Saints and Spencer Rattler couldn't really get anything going in that game. 40 points on that defense was super impressive. And now they're feeling confident, once again, having won 5 of 6. You play who's in front of you, and they've beaten all the teams that they really should, outside of maybe the Cowboys. They lost that game, obviously. But this is a Bucs team that's playing with confidence. They're playing with something to play for. And I think that's why the oddmakers have the Saints as basically 2-touchdown underdogs.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are kind of a fascinating team because they seem like a team that can, A, beat anybody, and B, lose to anybody. You know, it's strange. It really is. And like they beat the Lions on the road this season, a team that has a, you know, if they win tonight, it's going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And this was before the Lions' defense was kind of in shambles. This was at their strength in terms of roster. So no, it's a really fascinating Bucs team. It's hard to put your finger on, you know, why they're not a 12-13 win team. They're easily the best team in the NFC South. I've watched enough Falcons games. I've watched enough Bucs games. You know, from a talent perspective, they have it, at least on offense. On defense, in terms of the players they're going to roll out there right now, I mean, they're dinged up. There's no Jamel Dean. Antoine Winfield's not out there. Jordan Whitehead, I believe, got in a car accident, so he's not going to be out there. So, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be an opportunity for the Saints, at least, you know, in the secondary to attack it a little bit. But that's obviously, the wide receiver position isn't exactly a strength of the Saints either. But no, the Bucs is, you know, they're on the verge of winning a fourth consecutive NFC South title. And you look at how they have done it compared to the last team that won 4 NFC South titles in a row, which was the Saints. I mean, the Saints during that stretch, they won double-digit wins. They had double-digit wins all 4 times. They won 49 games, which is tied for the most in the NFL over that span. When you look at the Bucs, you know, there's a 17-game schedule worked in here. They're 40-28, I believe, in that stretch. So, you know, it's kind of been winning the NFC South on easy mode. But, hey, you got to go win it. You know, someone's got to win it, and no one's going to look back at the end and be like, ah, well, you didn't win as many games as the Saints. They're going to look back and say you won 4 consecutive NFC South titles. And doing that with 8 wins, 9 wins, and 10 wins, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I do think this Bucs team long-term is going to be interesting to watch. You know, is Baker Mayfield going to be there for an extended period of time? Does he end up becoming kind of a freelancer after this season? I don't know. You know, you have some interesting names in terms of like Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, guys that were quit on in one location and ended up finding success somewhere else. But no, I think a lot's going to be determined on whether they win this game today, right? Like if you're the Bucs and you win this game and you have a 10 win season and you go to the playoffs, you host a playoff game for the second year in a row, it'll feel a lot different than, hey, you had everything in front of you and you blew it in your building to the Saints. And you could say that's not going to happen, but we watched them do the same thing last year. They had everything in front of them in week 17 at Raymond James Stadium last year against the Saints team that was basically out of it. They had a shot at it, but, you know, they were kind of on the elimination track And we saw that ultimately play out. And the Saints dominated them. It was a 23-13 win that didn't feel that close. So, you know, I think this game is very important for how the Bucs kind of view this season, how they view Todd Bowles, who, you know, is right around 500 as a head coach since taking over. And that includes a season where he went 8-9 with Tom Brady. So, no, I think that all the pressure's on Tampa today, because if they don't deliver, it's not going to look very pretty for them going into the offseason.
Jeff, I know you asked Coach Darren Rizzi about, you know, maybe some increased role for a guy like Isaiah Foskey in this season finale to get a better gauge of what you have out of him since he hasn't seen much action this season. But for you, besides Foskey, is there anyone else on this roster you're hoping gets a little more play today?
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of a little trying to speak that into existence this week, because I think you really do need to see what you have in Isaiah, at least from the perspective of, I want some tape to evaluate. Yeah. You know, I want some live game tape. And, you know, I asked Joe Woods about it. I asked Darren Rizzi about it. And they both kind of said the same thing, which is it's accurate in that it's not really about how he's playing. It's about the fact that you have four or five guys in front of him that, you know, you're going to get reps to. Like, he's not going to beat out Chase Young. He's not going to beat out Carl Grandis. He's not going to beat out Cam Jordan. Peyton Turner, you could say he should be playing to see what we have in Isaiah. But the same thing is true of Peyton. He's a first-round pick who has been healthy. You want to reward him for that. Tano Pasigno, a guy who started the season on the pup list with a torn Achilles, he's back now. So it is a tough situation to try to get all these guys reps. But all that said, I think you have to. I think you have to try. He did accurately point out that there was a stretch where Isaiah was playing only special team steps, and he has been a core special team contributor this season. I know a lot of folks will just roll their eyes and like, second round pick, you need more than that, but that you know, a guy like Darren Rizzi is not going to overlook that, and for good reason. It is important. I think he's second on the team in special teams tackles. But he has been worked in more of the rotation. He has gotten defensive snaps each of the last 4 weeks. Over the last 2 weeks, he's averaged 10 snaps a week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider this is a guy who was out of the rotation entirely, you know, that's significant. So, I don't know. The coaches are adamant that he's continuing to improve, that, you know, he's doing the work, and they see it in practice. I don't know. I'd like to see it in a game. And in a game where you're not fighting for the playoffs, you're fighting for evaluations and pride. I don't know. I think it shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he gets 30, 40 snaps in this game. Peyton Turner is going into it with an ankle injury. He's questionable. We'll see if they roll him out there. If they don't, that'll be an opportunity to kind of funnel some of those snaps that he would have gotten in the game plan. But no, I mean, this is my second round pick from last year, right? This isn't just a dude. This is a guy that, you know, you brought in because you expected him to be a player on your defense. And to this point, I'd like to be able to sit here and say he's not playing because he doesn't have the talent to play. And maybe that's true. Like, but until you see it, I don't know how you make that assessment. So now I think this is a perfect opportunity to get him some reps, some more involvement in the regular defense. And we'll see how they do.
Definitely appreciate your time, Jeff. Have a good one before heading over to Raymond James Stadium there. And try not to get too shell-shocked today from that pirate ship.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got to work every time the Bucks score. If that thing goes off a lot, it'll be a bad day. But, well, we'll find out. I'm putting some sunscreen on as we speak.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Have a good one, man.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us there from Tampa Bay as the Saints get ready to take on the Buccaneers. That's a noon kickoff coming up on WWL Saints Radio, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon ahead at 10 a.m. We're taking a break here on First Take and be right back after this on WWL. Between the 9-7 Buccaneers and the 5-11 Saints, we'll try and play the role of spoiler for the Buccaneers, even though we kind of mentioned a lot of who that's wanting the Saints to fall on this one to improve their draft stock, although we mentioned it's not going to really fluctuate that much, but also keep the Dirty Birds, Atlanta, from winning the division. I don't know either way right here. It's not you, so I don't have any kind of affinity towards, oh, let Tampa or let Atlanta win the division.
Right. I don't really
care. It doesn't matter to me, right.
So I'll pull up Tankathon in a little bit, and we'll talk about draft positioning for the Saints probably after this upcoming break. I wanted to talk about Baker Mayfield here, though, Steve.
Baker's been balling.
The heater that he's been on over the past five games. How many touchdowns do you think Baker Mayfield has?
How many?
Past five games.
I will guess and say 19.
Not that many. That would be like four a game. No, 15.
Okay.
So three a game, which is still incredible. He had five passing touchdowns this past week.
Right. That's why I was inflated in my number.
Yeah, right. So Baker Mayfield on the season, 4,279 yards, third in the NFL. 39 touchdown passes, third in the NFL. Now, here's where he kind of gets in trouble. The interceptions, 15th, which is like really down. And then it's one of the worst in the NFL. So he'll throw picks. He'll throw them up. Now, the Saints have had issues creating turnovers, you know, in the basically the past month and a half at this point.
Right.
It hasn't really gone their way. They've had opportunities. They just haven't really been able to come up away with them. But Baker's going to give, like, he's going to throw some lollipop throws at times. He's going to give you chances. He takes chances. He's kind of the gunslinger type of quarterback, and that's what he's always been ever since his college days at Oklahoma. But the passing numbers are gaudy. He'll air it out. And when we talked with James Sharkey with the Locked On Bucks podcast, and we'll get to the soundbite later as well, the rushing attack for Tampa is what's really turned them from a good offense to a great offense. I already read off the numbers.
You know, the run game.
Exactly. I already read off the numbers where they're top four in total yards, passing yards, rushing yards, and total points per game. Baker's a huge part of that, but so is like Bucky Irving, Rashad White, and Saints fans obviously remember Sean Tucker as well, what he did to him the first time around. So it's a complete offense, and that's why if they win this game, get into the playoffs with a 10-7 record, host the first-round playoff game, they'll be hosting, in all likelihood, the loser of tonight's game between Detroit and Minnesota, where I think they would be underdogs in that game. But they've already beat Detroit this year, the Buccaneers have. And I wouldn't count them out against either team because they have that offensive attack led by Baker Mayfield, the maestro.
Yeah, the matchup against the Lions, that was early on in the year, but still pretty impressive, this
like
Bucs team.
Week two, right. Definitely early. But, I mean, as I mentioned, with this Buccaneers team, they're one of those squads that I think a lot of teams are hoping that the Saints win this game. A lot of the teams in the playoff picture in the NFC hope the Saints win this game and that the Falcons are the team in the NFC South. Yes, the Falcons may have, you know, the more high-end, like, superstar names like Bijan Robinson and Drake London and everything like that. But with a rookie quarterback in Michael Penix,
right.
I would rather play him right now than someone like Baker Mayfield, who, as I mentioned, is top three in the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns.
No, Baker's definitely got that swag about him right now, and for good reason. It'd be interesting to see the Atlanta Falcons, they make it to the postseason. Do they consider turning back to Kirk Cousins in that situation? Do you go with the rookie all the way?
It's Michael Penix's team now. And you used the first round, a premium first round pick on him this past year, the number eighth overall pick. You've moved on from Kirk. He's going to be gone from that team. It's now Michael Penix. So even if the Saints pick up this win, and they are two touchdown underdogs, so it would be an upset to do so. If the Falcons beat the Panthers, it's going to be Michael Penix playing either Detroit or Minnesota in the first round.
First Take brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. We're going to take a break here on First Take. Be back with more, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Closing out the first hour of First Take, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Looking at two of the games in action yesterday, Charlie, we had the Ravens taking down the Browns 35-10, and then the Bengals, hope still alive there for Cincinnati. They defeat the Steelers 19-17.
But they didn't cover. We did that in pick six, so we all picked up a loss. All of us had the Bengals 2.5. The half point got us, Steve. It's terrible.
You look at that Steelers team, it's hard to believe. They're playoff bound, baby.
They're falling apart, though, Steve. I think they've lost four straight. And in the Ravens game, Michael Pierce, the nose tackle with an interception to close out that game, that was so funny. Real quick, Steve, on our text line, we said from our friend Sam here, I hope the Panthers come snarling and clip the Falcons' wings today. And so I responded that it would be a really funny scenario if the Saints were to beat the Buccaneers.
This is definitely best case scenario.
I think this would be best case scenario for Saints fans. The Saints beat the Buccaneers and give the Falcons fans hope. Oh, they got that done. We can sneak into the playoffs with a win because we've beaten the Bucs both times.
Not so fast
and
as the
Panthers
would say.
And Bryce Young take down the Falcons in the season finale. So they're that close to potentially breaking their years without being in the playoff streak. And then they lose to the Panthers in the final
little
game of the season.
Little things to root for.
Yeah.
We'll be coming back with more First Take. Stay tuned after the news break here on WWL. Who dat?